Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
You're about to listen to Bananas for Bonanza, episode 26. This is Andy Daly. Here on this free feed, I'll be re-releasing all of the back episodes of Bananas for Bonanza, one every other week. If you want to hear new episodes ad-free, please subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/AndyDaly. The entire Bananas for Bonanza archive is also waiting for you there, and you can access lots and lots of bonus content. So do that. Okay. Thank you. Enjoy.
Yeah! Bonanza, it's the finest show alive. So consult your TV guide, get your great outdoors inside. Take some Ponderosa pride and forever may it ride.
Yeah.
Oh, that bullet got stuck in the barrel for a second there.
Oh, no. Is that okay?
I've been using it as a cane, this rifle, and it sticks in the mud, which sometimes is a problem because then the bullet can blow up the barrel, blow back in your face. Hasn't happened yet, but we'll see.
Yeah, but it's a perfect length for a cane for you.
So
I see
nice.
Where you got the idea for it. What are you doing?
I'm just opening pamplemousse la croix.
It's the same damn noise, isn't it? I never thought of
it
that.
Yes.
Let's do a blow. You two shut your eyes.
Okay.
I'll fire my gun and she'll open a la croix. And
okay.
You tell us which is which.
Okay. That second one had like, I don't know, just a lot of like...
Yeah.
I felt like it had an aftertaste.
A mango spindrift.
Either it was a carbonated bullet or I heard the la croix. Yeah.
Let me save you from looking stupid.
Okay.
We played a little trick where I shot the la croix and you heard the firing and the impact. So
oh.
We're just having some fun. That's
okay.
All.
Yeah.
Must have been some distance away, I suppose. All right. I won't question it. No more questions.
Now there's la croix
for Edinburgh.
There's a croix all over us.
You going to Edinburgh?
Yeah, we're doing the Fringe Festival.
You know who's from there is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Big money there.
No,
big money.
Big money in Edinburgh? That's where you make all the money, right?
Huge money.
When? You only got to do 44 shows. Will?
I once performed there in grad school at a church in a full movement piece that was not a comedy. Anyway, that wasn't me. That was my
That
friend.
Was a whole other life,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah.
A full movement piece. I don't know what that means, and I don't want to.
Nope.
Don't tell me. Well, folks, we're here in the backyard of old Jellyby's house. He's got a new baby. And the only reason I mention it is that Mutt has volunteered to look after this baby at some point in the next
That's
hour
right.
Or so.
Around about 45 minutes into this thing, I got to go check on him, probably bring that baby out in some kind of harness.
You've got to watch them.
Huh?
You've got to watch babies.
Oh, yeah. I'm not minding the baby. I'm watching it because it's a shifty character.
Oh, gosh.
Keep your eye on that baby.
You think they're asleep, but they're not. that.
Oh, right.
They're listening.
I went to almost sleeping in that baby. I woke up. It was on the ceiling like in Trainspotting.
Oh, yeah, man.
Running on a track.
There's a baby on the ceiling in Trainspotting?
Sure there is. And in the house right in there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a very serious issue, I think.
I feel like that baby can take care of itself,
I would think. It's a Spider-Man baby.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. How do you baby-proof so that they don't get up on the ceiling?
Well, just don't put your plug outlets on the ceiling.
Mm. Okay, then that's fine, as long as they're not up there. All right, good. Hey, what are we doing? Wait a minute. Hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide. Welcome to Bananas for Bonanza. I think I might have forgot to say that last week.
We'll do it twice.
Well, hello, friend. Come on in. The gate is open wide. And then I'll take that. I'll edit that and put it back on the other one and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Who says you can't keep on editing these things after you put them out?
No one
Make
I know
a
of.
Mixtape. Dub it. Dub.
Yeah.
Dub. Put it out there on the internet and let people sample.
Oh, sure. Do whatever you want with these audios. Make a hot song out of it.
Drake, are you listening? Drake, Drizzy, Aubrey.
I don't know who these people are, but if they could repurpose Bananas for Bonanza into a hit song, we'd all be rolling in money.
Oh,
God damn. Well, I am Dalton Wilcox. I am joined, as always, by Mutt Taylor.
How do?
Amy Slaverson.
Hello.
And our guest for two episodes in a row, which itself is unprecedented, is right. You say it better than I do.
Raisa Licea.
How do you, man, oh man. That's
Raisa Licea.
I like the way you say it, because you put in the, what do you do to the R? What do you call
kinda
it?
Kind of like you roll it, you.
Man, I could never even.
Raisa.
Raisa. No, Raisa. I would say Raisa Licea, but you say it so much better.
Raisa Licea.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's usually pronounced how people pronounce it, how it's written. How they, but
Raisa.
Yeah. Raisa. Raisa.
Raisa Licea.
Licea. Licea.
Like Raisa Gorbachev. Wasn't that his wife's name?
That is, Raisa Gorbachev. My name is Russian. Yes.
Is it really?
Yeah. I was not named after her.
You're not a communist or a Russian.
No.
Hang on. You come from Cuba. You got a
Cuban.
Russian first name.
This is.
I am Cuban.
This is
you're
a
Russian and a Cuban, so you're twice communist.
Yeah. Russian name, Cuban blood. Definitely, right?
Just all kinds of the bad guys in the movie Red Dawn.
Yeah.
They took the missiles out, but they left her behind.
Cuban, that's what they call me at my boxing class, Missile Crisis.
Really?
Yeah. He thinks it's a real fun bit. I'm just like, okay.
Here she comes, Missile Crisis, look out.
I guess it's better than Bay of Pigs.
I mean, fair, yes. Yeah. We really could, he could really go there with other ways. So I'm like, it's fine, this is fine.
Yeah, that's a rotten nickname.
Yeah.
Bad enough to be one pig. Whole bay full of them. Well, look, here's what's going to happen. It's because last time, half of us watched episode 25 and half of us watched episode 26. Mm-hmm. Now, this time, we done flipped it. And the other half watched 26 and the other half watched 25. So even though last time we almost exclusively talked about 25, today I reckon we'll talk about 26 more than 25, but we'll also talk about 25. Okay?
And conveniently, I've mostly forgotten 26.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is...
Well, I'll tell you the whole thing,
but
with fan fiction added.
Ooh. Oh, you're going to add some fan fiction?
Yeah. Fan fiction is like sexy, right? Or no?
Yeah.
Well,
that's erotic.
Oh, that's erotic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is platonic fan fiction.
This is platonic.
Whatever the requests are, I'm taking requests.
Erotic.
We read a piece of Bonanza fan fiction that was not erotic fan fiction, except that in a climactic gun battle, some bad guys had stolen Adam's pants, and so he was naked from the waist down.
This is true.
During the gun battle.
Yeah.
So, and it's up for debate whether that's erotic or not. Mm. I don't know.
Oh, I think that's exciting.
Yeah. It's Adam, though. All right, well.
Two guns out of their holster.
That's what she should have titled the story.
How do you square that with your Christian beliefs?
Oh, well, the body is a temple.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of times, well, I'm rewriting the Bible as my own version of Amy's Bible, you know, for people, you know, who just have read the Bible so many times, you just go, can I, can I hear it in a different way? You know? So like...
A fresh take on it.
Like John 3:16, everybody knows that. Oh, for God so loved the world, he gave us all... Oh, God. So long and tiresome. Just say, a guy came. A guy came, and you better think about it.
Period.
That gets the idea across, and that for today's sort of TikTok generations, and the Z's and whatnot, that's perfect for them.
Yeah.
Cut to the chase.
A camel can go through the eye of an needle easier than a rich... just say, rich people, even if you can go to space, no one will like you.
And a guy came just practically bordering on erotic fan fiction.
I reckon in the Old Testament God, well, of course he's God, so he knew people would be eventually coming to space, but he never mentioned it one time.
No.
Because the people on Earth at the time would have been confused.
Mm. Right.
What do you mean you can get so rich you can go to space? But now... He would. That's how he would put it today.
That's exactly how he's. It's for teens and kids and then the young at heart.
You got your finger on the pulse of the youth.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do. You just got it, and I got to move. I got to move these books.
Oh.
I ordered 1,000, and they're self-published.
Oh.
And boy, they are filling up the back of my car. I got a Nissan Cube filled with Bibles.
You should get the TikTokers to do some TikTok vids.
Okay.
Yeah,
to help promote the book.
Yeah, to help promote it.
Oh,
brand deals.
Oh my gosh.
What is the general state, if you don't mind my asking, of your finances? Because every time we talk to you, you've got wonderful business plans going, and I'm just curious to know, because I hear all these, and I think every one of them is a great idea. You must be so rich.
Must be rich enough to go to space.
Well, what happens is it's an energy vacuum.
Oh.
So that's the type of business plan we have. Open book accounting. So I can tell you guys, nothing goes in, nothing goes out. It's like, it's the empty cafe model that you'll see in this episode, where everything's free, and then you give more away. Uh-huh. And then everything's free.
So it's just a volume business.
It's a volume. Oh, there's so much to do.
Okay.
Okay, that clears it up.
But then we just keep, I just keep evolving.
Yes, Joe, I know that. Yeah, mm-hmm. The evolving is happening for sure. Well, okay, episode 26 of this show is a weird one. It is dark.
We told you, we tried to tell
you. You did try to tell me.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's very dark, it's very somber, and it feels like part two of a two-parter, but it ain't. It drops you right into two of our main characters are 2 hours away from being hung for a murder.
And we didn't even get to see a court scene, right?
No, no court scene, no murder even, nothing. Just bang. Never mind.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's too much to put on exposition, in my opinion. But
that's why I cut out the part where Noah has to gather all the animals. I just get them on the boat, and then they hit an iceberg.
So you join Noah in the... He's already on the boat with the animals.
He's already on the boat, and he gets 4 of everything instead of 2.
Well, why's that?
Because...
Orgy.
Just for extras.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not... Oh.
Oh, sorry.
For extra. You always got to get extra.
Got to have a backup.
Yeah, and these are Americans who are reading this Bible. You got to have... You know, supplies.
Right.
Americans love more. They love quantity.
Yes.
Americans don't want to hear about 2 giraffes. Mm-hmm. Give me 4.
Yeah, give me 4.
Yep, I agree with that. Well, all right, I want to get into some fun facts for this for episode 26.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you guys just jump in anytime you have something to tell us about episode 25 that we might have missed.
I also forgot a little bit, but don't worry. I've got my notes from last time.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
That's a large phone you have there.
It's big.
That's almost as big as my label maker.
Man, you're always comparing everything size to your label maker.
Yeah, really?
Wow. I'll mention it later, but that's my printing press. It's my label maker. Because no one can take a label maker away from you, even your husband, when he says, "Oh, stop it." You know, free speech. I got 4 old label makers. I got them for eBay for $50, $15 a piece. And then you get a bunch of cartridges and you can just keep going.
Are these the kind that print with a little digital readout, or the old one where you turn the wheel and then you have to each little letter. Remember those?
Was that a gunshot or a La Croix?
No, I did open a La Croix. Oh, okay. That's unrelated.
All right.
Okay.
It's the high tech version.
Okay, yeah.
That Brother P Touch type.
Brother P Touch.
Yeah, man.
Unit 45.
Erotic fan fiction.
Those are hot. Those are hot.
And that way, you know, if my husband takes all my works away, I can just start printing out more stories, but just, you know, on the back side of pieces of recycling and stuff like that. You know, the word gets out no matter what.
Absolutely. So this episode, episode 26, has people in it that are still alive. They including well, most of the time, the actors in the episodes are long dead.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Jean Allison, who played Sally Burke, she's still kicking. She's 92 years old. And
wow.
Yeah, she's still out there. Same as the little boy, Jimmy. He's still alive.
I would hope so.
Not surprised. Yep. So, yeah. He was also the little boy in The King and I. So they put
The
King and I.
No kidding.
They put a weird bald wig on him, and then they put a half a head of hair on him, and they said, "You spend 6 weeks with Yul Brynner,
and you're from Siam."
Yeah, you're from Siam.
Okay.
Yep. However, it also has people in it who is dead, such as Vic Morrow.
Oh, yeah.
Vic Morrow, which
he's
is
really dead.
That
he's
was so dead. Interesting because capital punishment is from the word Latin capitalis, which is chop your head off, which is how he died.
He did.
And it wasn't good. That's how people shouldn't get a do scenes with real helicopters.
No.
Right, exactly.
Or guillotines.
Is that real?
Yeah. That's real. You didn't know that?
Shooting the Twilight Zone movie, he and two kids were chopped up by helicopter blades.
Jennifer Jason Leigh's dad. So.
During a take. It's on film.
Oh, shit.
It's in the movie.
Yeah.
And the director is still around.
John Landis. Ooh. And his son's a real weirdo.
Oh
is his son weirder than him?
Oh, sure.
Oh, wow.
As weird as they come.
Yeah.
I don't know
I think he's
about
a serial assaulter, an offender of some kind.
Ooh. Hey, all right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm
that's why
that
improv is so good. Because then you just, somebody is the helicopter.
See that? Yeah. Nobody ever died in a helicopter accident during an improvisation comedy show.
That is true. I have been a helicopter on a show.
You have?
I literally
and
have.
And did you kill anyone?
No.
There you
I
go.
Jumped off the stage as a helicopter to ensure that I didn't even hit him with my arms, a.k.a. wings.
That's John Landis could have used your safety guidelines on that set.
Yep. Vic Morrow died on a set. But before that, he was in this episode of this episode of Bonanza was before that.
Yeah.
I checked. I double checked. And this is, he did other things too. He was in a movie called Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry. Dirty Mary, Crazy Larry. He was in a show called Greatest Heroes of the Bible, playing Arioch, who was one of four kings who went to war with some other five kings. It was a 4-on-5 king war.
Oh, that's a deep cut.
Yeah.
Four kings. I didn't know you could beat four kings.
You gotta have five. I guess the other side was cheating.
Yeah, they
slipped another king of diamonds in there or some shit. Vic Morrow played Injun Joe in a television movie of Tom Sawyer. Certainly he did.
That seems wrong.
He was in a show called The Weekend Nun.
Yeah. What does he do the rest of the week?
The nun?
Yeah.
What is it? A probation officer.
Yeah. Side gig.
Uh-huh. That's true.
Frankly, I'd rather see the Monday through Friday, I think.
His style of acting, I'm putting into a new coaching service called The Sexy Cowboy. How to get things done in your relationships by riding low in your pelvis, leaning back, and putting a finger in your jeans.
Yeah. He slinks around Virginia City and looks like he's itching to take his pants off. A lot of the time, you know?
You think he does like a secret like scratch every once in a while? Yeah. It has to itch of his fingers just hanging out there all day.
Yeah.
He's got to do a hardcore scratch and have like a little bit of a longer thumbnail, huh? Instead of the pinky for cocaine, it's the thumb.
Oh, it does feel good. Just get your thumb.
Let's all do it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
It does feel good.
I stick my thumb in my pants all the time. I got a little skin pocket in there.
I have high waist. waisted. So I'm a little bit by my belly button, to be fair.
All right.
You have fine. A skin pocket? You got a little pocket watch in there or what?
Oh, no. I keep a silver bullet in there so that if I'm ever searched down by a werewolf.
I got one of them little capsules with a Swiss bank account number in it, like Jason Bourne.
Oh, in your skin pocket?
You pull it out, and it just shoots a little LED projection, so I know where to go get my go bag.
I put in a shelf.
Where'd you put a shelf in?
You know.
And what's well, on
I
the shelf?
If I told you, it wouldn't be secret.
What's on the shelf?
Oh, just stuff.
You got a skin shelf? You got a skin shelf somewhere, anybody?
Oh, okay, not floating. Is it a floating skin shelf?
No, well,
those are very in right now.
Yeah, that's like right.
You know, it's nice.
Yeah.
You don't also have one of those rolling ladders so you can get up and get stuff from it, can you?
Oh, if skin. I told you any more about my skin shelf, you'd know where it was, and then you'd ask to borrow books.
I don't think I would.
Skin books?
I mean, it feels like it could be very convenient. Like, you're at home, you're doing stuff, but you're also going to be thirsty. Just put your water bottle on your skin shelf and do your things.
That's right. You make a divot. Yeah. That's what I said to my husband, and, you know, so it's basically, it's a process of scarification. Mm. And I says, this is going to take a while, but it's going to be worth it.
Hell yeah. And you'll never be done if you don't get started.
I was reading the Skin Book version of Stephen King's Firestarter, and it was...
Oh, the skin book of that?
Yeah, I borrowed it from her shelf when she
it's
was sleeping.
It's a tiny version. You've got to, definitely have a magnifying glass or something.
If you go on Amazon, it'll say you can get this hardcover, paperback, Kindle, Audible, and every once in a while it will say skin book.
Yeah, that's right.
But you got to look for it. So many different ways to appreciate a book. Hey, this episode of Bonanza, by the way, was almost written by a woman, and that it was written by a man named Claire. Oh.
That's the closest we got.
Yep. Mm. Fellow by the name of Claire Huffaker.
We'll take it.
I heard this was actually a different pilot that they...
Oh, really?
Have you heard that someone wrote on Twitter or something and said that this one actually was what we suspect all of them are, a pilot for... It was either Vic Morrow or Chuck Connors or something like that.
Because it was going to be a spinoff.
Yeah.
So he rides into a different town every time trying to find another person that killed his father. Mm. Must have been like...
How many times his father died?
He had a lot of enemies, too.
No kidding.
There was a mob of 400 people killed his father. Keep the show going a long time. All right. I buy that. What else did I learn about Jean Allison? She was in a movie called The Strange Possession of Mrs. Oliver, in which a bored housewife takes on the personality of a dead woman. Oh. Just to ease her boredom. Mm. She was in a show called Jigsaw John, which what's that guy's name? Warden. Jack Warden starred, and he was special investigator Jigsaw John St. John.
That sounds pretty good, actually.
His name is John St. John, and he goes by Jigsaw. John St. John is interesting enough as a name. Don't
you? Because James Bond one time went as St. John, but in England they pronounce it St. John.
What?
I know. It's weird.
If your name is St. John and you live in England, they're going to call you St. John?
That's right.
They got it all wrong.
St. John Smythe, and he goes by St. John Smythe. Mm.
That's crazy.
I'm glad I took the time out of this podcast to say that.
I'm glad we heard it. The fellow that played Mr. Hawkins, Richard Devon, he was in a movie, the title of which was The Saga of the Viking Women and Their Voyage to the Waters of the Great Sea Serpent.
Jesus Christ.
That's a whole title.
Yeah.
That's the whole movie.
That's the whole movie right there.
You just read the script.
I know.
Imagine having to hashtag that. Like, hey guys, come to my movie, and it's like the whole caption.
Hashtag saga. Hashtag women. Hashtag... Journey, hashtag.
The band? Hashtag. Journey?
Yeah. The Journey. I love Journey.
So do I.
I love it so much.
Girl.
Have you heard them in every form of cover band?
Oh, you mean like which?
Like
when
a
they
noise
got replaced?
Band cover.
Oh, like your Christian noise.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
No.
Do it in every band does a cover of Journey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's how they close every show as far as I've been able to
a
find.
A Christian noise rock Journey cover band.
Yeah. Well,
would check all the boxes.
Which box?
Will, Noise, Journey, Christian. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
That's all the boxes I can think of.
That's all the boxes.
Keep those boxes on your skin shelf. Richard Devon also played Milani the Warrior in an animated program called Ewoks. 1986. You know about that?
Oh, I sure do. There was a twin series of Lucasfilm where they did droids and Ewoks on back-to-back.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
They were shit, but...
The big guy, Bert. He was the heavy man in this episode, Bert.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Harry Swoger was his name. Harry Swoger, listen to some of the great characters he's played in the movies. In a movie called Change of Habit, he played a character called Fat Man. In the movie Robin and the Seven Hoods, he played a character named Soup Meat.
I've seen that movie.
Yep. And then in the movie Angel Baby, he played a character called Big Cripple. What a career in the films he had. Those wonderful things. He was also he was in 6 episodes of Bonanza, one of which he played a fellow by the name of William Bullethead Burke.
What head?
Bullethead.
Bullethead.
I guess. I mean, it's coming up in a few seasons. I guess he must have a bullet in his head.
I guess. Yeah.
How do you get a nickname like Bullethead unless you got a bullet lodged permanently in your head?
Or your head? Yeah, looks like a bullet. Yeah.
That. Oh, that too.
Like, yeah, Hey Arnold. Be.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. Like, hey, Arnold, he got a little football.
Yeah. A football head.
I don't know who that is.
Sometimes you get a bullet wound if you're caught in the crossfire of an already in progress gang fight on the way to a domestic.
Sometimes that happens.
That
Amy,
happens.
You've been doing ride-alongs again?
No, I just love TV and shows, and
it's great, isn't it?
You pick it up. You pick up the lingo so you know how to do the job.
Yeah.
You watch enough television, you could step into any goddamn job.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere in any time.
Mm-hmm.
From going back all the ways to caveman times to now. I could be a hunter-gatherer because I've seen it on TV.
I could be a child doctor because I watched Doogie Howser.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you could be.
Yeah.
But my last... fun fact I want to share in this episode, I don't know if it's fun or interesting or both, but here's what. The fellow who played Zeke, the stable man Zeke, he was offered the role of the bartender on some show called Gunsmoke, and he said, no, thank you. I don't want to be tied down to that. So he passed on it. And then, so it came to win it. Some other guy who did it for years and then died. And then they had to go one more season and they needed a new bartender. And so they hired Robert Brubaker, who played Barney in this episode of Bonanza. Oh. That's weird, right?
How did you find that out?
Yeah. It's like major ex-girlfriend stalkage.
Hours and hours and hours online. No, both of them in the biographies of their IMDBs mentioned this. He turned it down and then he did. Yeah.
Okay.
It's that IMDb Pro, baby. Invest. Yeah. Invest in that.
Yeah, professional. It's weird you have to pay to be a professional instead of get paid
literally.
On IMDb Pro.
Yeah, how come IMDb didn't pay me?
I've never signed up. Is it? I mean, because I'm not in show business.
No.
But how do you, why would you sign up for IMDb Pro?
I don't know what the difference is anymore.
I don't either, except they charge you an arm and a leg. It's over $100.
Yeah,
I should start a service resume pro.
Yes, that's good.
You can update your photos.
That's
like
about it.
I had none.
You
and
can't
it was
change your birthday.
You can't change your birthday, and also, but you can also get like entertainers and manage like their like contact info.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, you can't change your birthday in any situation. There's no website that'll allow you to change the date that you were born, is there? You can't do that. You were born on a certain date, and there's no changing it.
I just mean you can't take it off.
Yeah, which is a thing for actors that they want it off.
There's a whole lawsuit going.
Yeah, because you get judged when you know you look like me. You know, I'm 47 years old. And I look like I'm 20.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like.
Oh, I would think it would go the other way. You want it, you know, like Grandpa Munster did. You ever hear that? Grandpa Munster lied about his age by 10 years in the other direction. He said he was 10 years older than he was.
I do try that.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Then they hear my voice and they're like, nope.
Well, all right. That's IMDb Pro. Now, on to this episode. Man, it was a weird one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I will say this about the other episode, you sure are right about those prosthetic teeth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, that's right. There was a character who had a big pair of... Mertz. Why did he have that? Mertz.
Don't know.
Don't, yeah. Who knows? Yeah. He was just goofing around in the prop room, I guess. He says, let me stick these in my mouth and see if...
He was trying to look like a proto-Clint Howard or something? I don't know.
Maybe
what
he
else.
Got an extra fee for breaking his own teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
He made a choice. He made a character choice. Yeah. Sometimes it works.
I mean, let's hope those are fake teeth, because now I'd feel real bad.
They got to be. But yeah, I could see that. He got himself a tooth bump. I brought my own tooth ago.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tooth up.
I came up with a business idea based on this episode, which is Amy's theatrical capital punishment and assisted suicide services. So what happens is you don't die, but there's a lot of tension and there's ropes or, you know, Maybe I put ketchup on your wrists and you lie in a knife.
So you get to have the emotional experience of being about to die.
About to die.
Right up to the moment of death.
Where everyone thinks it's going to happen. Oh.
Including you?
Including?
Like the person who's going to not die. But do they think they're going to die, or they are in on it?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
So this could be, you could give it as a gift to somebody.
You give it as a gift. You say, you know what? Someone... and you can actually do them, you know, give them a sharp blow to the head that I don't see coming, but nothing that will kill them.
Okay. Okay.
But something that just makes you appreciate life.
Oh, I see. Right. Like the game.
Yep. Like the game?
Yeah. The movie, The Game.
Oh, I thought you meant the show.
Which show's that?
Oh, The Game. Oh, it's a great show.
Game of Squids?
About, no. That's good.
Game of Thrones?
No. There's a, it's about football players in San Diego, and it's about them and their wives, like their life as football players.
Okay.
Very good. Okay. Watched all the seasons. A reboot is coming out. Really wanted to audition, but didn't happen, guys.
Oh, sorry.
Wow. Do you have the game, listen up.
No, do you have to be a football player to get on there?
I think so.
Okay.
Oh, or a football player's
wife. Well,
that
ain't fair. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. You go on IMDb and you tell IMDb you're a football player.
I am going to tell them.
You just
change
that.
Right
change
now. It. Was that idea inspired by the episode 26?
Well, it just came out of nowhere, so it was Christ-given.
Okay.
But I just, the best form of health care we have in this country is hospice. It's when you say, I'm done, you know, and then that's when they hit you with the free bed.
Oh, yeah.
And the 24-hour nursing staff and all the morphine you can eat with no one watching. So I'm trying to just get, you know, an angle on this whole death industry stuff.
I mean, because you got me, because like I was so anxious. I don't know about you guys, but like when he puts his head in the episode and he puts it under like the rope, like testing him out. And then he like the other guy, like the helper of the sheriff or whatever.
Well, it's a hangman.
Yeah.
And he's a hangman's apprentice.
There you go. The
apprentice.
Oh. I literally was like this, like he's like on the edge. He's going to fall. Like they're going to show him falling. Yeah. You know, and like
there's got to be some other way to measure measure the length of the rope rather than to put the noose around the neck of your young squire, like you did there.
I was very anxious when that was happening. That's why I thought, like, I was like, because I was like, oh my God, yes.
I thought this guy got the worst job in the world, putting his head in a noose on top of gallows. I mean, because his boss tells him, I just got to see how long the rope is.
That's like, you're so like, what do you do for work? Oh, I check people's ropes before they get hung.
I almost get hung every day. Yeah. I thought that too. You, buddy, there's got to be some better job for you. Well, basically what's going on here is we got Ben and Adam is in the jail cell in the sheriff's department. They are 2 hours away from being hung for a murder that they committed in part one of this episode. And the whole town is ghost town. Virginia City, ain't nobody around.
What do you think of the different theme music?
No, it wasn't. When I watched it, it was the same theme music as ever.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Sometimes I watch a different version that has some other music with it, but I think it's because it's another internet channel putting it on.
What's going on there? When I watched it, it was real somber, boom, boom, and it just kept repeating the same theme.
Oh.
No Bonanza theme in the whole episode.
What I saw, there was a Bonanza theme, and they set that map on fire. You ever see that?
Yeah.
This is the 26th episode where they set the map on fire.
So this must have really been maybe a spinoff pilot, a backdoor pilot that they were put the Cartwrights in to give it some cachet, but it had its own music, but then it didn't go, so they just put it back in the series of Bonanza and then put the new music, the original music on.
Pirated pilot. Guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
How confusing.
I'm confused just saying it.
No kidding. Well, at some point, too, while they're checking out the noose, the hangman says, oh, I don't like these night hangings. It ain't like in the morning when it's cheerful.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I guess
that's
so.
That's true.
Well, that's the great thing about what I provide is that you can choose whatever time of day you want it to happen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like you shouldn't have to die on other people's schedules.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to do it during brunch.
Yeah. Who determined this would be a night hanging anyway? They don't explain that.
Because it also affects your last meal. Are you going to have breakfast, lunch, or dinner? Mm. You know?
They have the worst conceivable last meal on this.
They have stew and a cup of coffee.
And
with
dirt. Pile of dirt in your stew.
Pile of dirt. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, we'll get there. All right, so now Joe and Hoss ride into town, and they say, well, we've done, there's two witnesses to this murder. There's Deuce Martin and Sally Burns, or whatever, Barnes, and Deuce Martin, they went to find him to get him to recant his false testimony, but they found him dead on a trail somewhere. He'd been thrown from his horse or something.
Pretty fishy.
Well, all right, so that line of inquiry is closed, and Sally's sticking to her story, and so they got two other long shots. They're going to circulate a petition to get bail or something like that, and then the newspaper man, Mr. Baxter, is going to print a special edition of the newspaper right quick and give it to, even though nobody's in town, everybody's hiding. People are hiding either because they don't care to watch the Cartwrights being hung or because they're afraid of this fellow Hawkins and his hired guns. Both of those reasons are given for why nobody's in town.
I thought that the Virginia City had a fairly low population as a constant.
Same, literally.
Yeah, that's true, too.
The empty cafe business model is a real success story in Virginia City.
Well, this woman, Sally, she seems to run a restaurant. She's got plenty of tables and chairs in there and not a customer in sight. And she only serves stew and coffee.
And dirt.
And dirt. You can put dirt in the stew if you want.
And she gets, like, dressed up, like, legit, fully dressed up. And, like, again, I don't like to only comment on how women look, but as a woman, I'm like, girl, you don't got to do none of that. Put on a sports bra and some sweatpants and you're good. Some chancletas. You don't need any makeup. Like, she's so pretty already naturally. Like, you don't even need to do your hair.
Now, what's a chancleta?
Chancletas, like the sandal.
Oh, okay.
Like you know, like the Nike sandals?
Oh,
or like it could be any, you know, like the
shower shoe.
Yes. A lot of people use them for like taking showers. No, but it's
true.
And
soccer girls wear them for warm-ups.
I wear them before like I play or like whatever. So I don't wear like my like basketball shoes on the grass and on the concrete because I don't want to mess them up.
Chancleta, not to be confused with a huarache.
No, the Huaracha. Those are the
sandal shoes.
Oh yeah, and then the Nikes have the Nike Huaracha.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But the chancleta is known in the Latinx community as a weapon.
because you can get it off your foot real quick. I guess.
Yeah. Like your mom might be wearing some chancletas, and you might do something wrong, and like, I mean, she doesn't have time to catch something else, so she's just gonna grab her chancleta and brah.
I bet you could throw it like a boomerang.
Oh yeah, they go far. I can confirm.
You could probably spike the bottom of it too if you wanted to. Take it up a notch.
Oh yeah, a little baseball cleat,
something like that. Put a nail in there.
Put a little.
They could really do some damage.
Yeah,
not a mother to her children, probably.
My mother used a wooden spoon.
Oh man.
Yeah.
She did beat you around with a wooden spoon? Yeah.
Wooden spoon.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Sometimes you need a little booty chancleta. Okay.
I got a wooden spoon or two myself one time.
We had a slotted spoon. It cut through there a little bit faster. Mm.
Oh, right. Mm. No wind resistance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, ouch. Smart.
Yep. Yep, we all, but we could all beat one another with it. It wasn't, anybody could use, whoever was first to the slot.
Very egalitarian.
Yeah, exactly.
I have an addition to my fashion line, along with tragedy charms, which do include a hanging noose.
Okay.
If you are in one of the number of countries that still allows a hanging, for example, Saudi Arabia has public hangings on the week, every week.
Oh.
If you go to... I can't remember the city, but...
In Saudi Arabia?
In Saudi Arabia. It starts with an R.
Riyadh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
They'll hang you there?
Riyadh. They'll hang you there. You can take a cab ride and go see it.
No.
If you want to, Riyadh. And, but the point, what was... Oh, so this is... This is a great new fashion choice for women who, want to dress something up, but then it doesn't have a purpose. It's called the useless ribbon. And you just put a little ribbon loosely around your neck, and it dresses something up, and yet it does nothing.
Is that something Sally was wearing in this
episode? Sally was wearing a very
She's
useless...
my first and only guest because she's the only woman in there. So. But she had an unnecessary ribbon on her?
Unnecessary ribbon that did nothing for the ensemble.
Man, I missed it. I didn't notice it. But I'm going to go back and watch the whole episode and appreciate that ribbon.
Yeah.
So, okay. Now we got in the saloon, we got some guys standing around laughing. These are the hired guns of Mr. Hawkins. Cy Hawkins is... He's got the second biggest ranch in the territory, and it seems like when Paul gets hung, which he's about to do in about 2 hours, Cy Hawkins is going to somehow have the biggest ranch. I guess he's just going to go ahead and redraw the lines without Paul around to stop him or something like that. I don't know. But Cy's not here yet, but his hired guns have taken over Virginia City, and they're sitting there in the saloon waiting for the Cartwright boys to get hung. Mm-hmm. Can't wait for it. I think that's all we learned there. And then Vic Morrow rides into town. Now, this is interesting. Vic Morrow, he says to Zeke, Zeke says, where are you from? He says, Lassiter, Kansas. And Zeke says, isn't that the town that got burned up by all those raiders? And so I says to myself, when I was done figuring out the exact timeline of who played the bartender on Gunsmoke, I says, what really happened in Lassiter, Kansas? Well, there ain't no Lassiter, Kansas, and there never was. But there was a town called Lawrence, Kansas, where they did have the sacking of Lawrence, Kansas, which was between, Lawrence, Kansas was established as a let's not have slaves town. And then there was folks who said, but I think you should have slaves. And they came in and they sacked the town.
Oh, shit.
That's the sacking of Lawrence, Kansas.
Now, Shump McGuppin from The Journeyman is from Lawrence, Kansas.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Okay.
What happens when they just burn your town down like that? Like, does it just stay like empty and nobody goes back?
You rise like a phoenix.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Fair.
Well, so I'm wondering to myself, why didn't they have this character come from Lawrence, Kansas? Now, there's two possible reasons. Mm-hmm. One is that, at some point in the episode, they start calling him Lassiter. And if they was to do that with Lawrence, then they'd just start calling him Lawrence.
I think you just answered it, Fred.
Well, because the other possible explanation is they didn't want to talk about slavery.
Yeah, that, well.
Oh, I bet that's it.
It's two birds, one stone. They don't want the mysterious wandering gunsman to be called Lawrence.
That's the great thing about my Bible, is that everything violent and no good, I gloss over or I change. Uh-huh. Like, you know how Lot's daughters, okay, apparently in the original Bible is that, and that Lot's daughter's the name of my business.
Yes.
Is their dad offered to, offered them to have sex with everybody in, this is in the city of Sodom, the Sodomites. And then the girls all got their dad drunk and impregnated themselves with their dad's limp penis. And
with his brother Peter.
It's so disturbing, you know. So I just said they went on a girls' trip.
So in your Bible, you cut right to the chase. You just say they went on a girls' trip. And you're not saying that they didn't get their father drunk and impregnate themselves with him, but you're not specifying.
I just say, oh, come on. Everybody was having a good time and no harm, no foul. And
quit complaining, Lot.
Quit complaining. That's your Lot.
Yeah. You got a good drunk on.
Yeah.
You know. There's parts of that you might not have liked.
Is this a real Bible story?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Have you heard the story of Cain and Abel?
Oh, yeah. I went to private Catholic school from first through 12th grade.
They didn't tell you about Lot's daughters in private Catholic?
They didn't tell me about the dad fucking his daughters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, how interesting. Yeah. I wonder why would they left that out?
Sister Mary Eleanor, how dare you not teach me this?
What did Cain and Abel do? There's two brothers.
Cain and Abel. Well, yeah. God asked for sacrifices, and God didn't like, he liked Abel's better than Cain's or vice versa.
Okay.
And so one of the brothers got mad and he killed the other one. But that's so negative.
Yeah.
That's so negative. Mm-hmm. So I had them, they both start learning how to do hip hop dance.
Oh, okay.
And they have a crew.
So you still have them as brothers.
They're brothers and God's just not even a part of it.
Oh, he doesn't care about, he doesn't want to see any sacrificing.
No, he just says, oh, you're good.
Okay. Okay, so now we got Vic, by the way, Mutton has gone in to tend to that baby.
Oh,
we'll see
he's
what
gonna happens. Go watch that baby.
Damn baby. Well, Vic is now, he goes into the tavern. He's hungry. First stop, tavern. Nobody in there, or the cafe, or the restaurant, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
That's when he learns they only have stew and coffee. But he also learns something real important. He notices a calendar with today's date circled on it, April 25th. And that tells him he's real smart. That tells him this woman, Sally, was looking forward to this day. Boy, oh boy, she was looking forward to this day.
Ever. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't cross off her dates in advance, even once the day starts.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's what I do. I cross it off just as soon as the day begins.
So first thing, you wake up in the morning, and if it happens to be April 25th, you cross off April 25th.
I'm already in tomorrow.
That's bad luck.
Is it?
Yeah, you're supposed to wait till the next, till your agenda and stuff, or if you're going to cross something out, you got to wait till the day finishes.
Oh,
do you feel
no.
that you have had any bad luck?
It's hard to say. Do I seem like my life is good?
Sure you do.
You've got
always,
so many businesses.
Yeah,
I've got, okay, I am a small business owner as well as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe you are as well. In addition to that, a hashtag girl boss. Isn't that correct?
Girl boss.
Girl boss. Girl. Maybe, you know, there's an exception to every rule. You're the exception.
Well.
It's working for you.
That's, you know, and I could be ahead a day and just not even know.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm not always good with numbers.
Nobody's good with numbers. Yeah. I never met anybody that was any good with
mathematicians.
Numbers. Figuring. It's hard to do.
I have a comment about this food.
Yes.
I made a note of it. That the bucket that they bring is so tiny.
Yeah, like, I know.
Like, it's like insult, so tiny.
It's insult on top of insult on top of insult.
It's like, how is that? Like, even when it's for the prisoners, like, I don't want to, like, you know, spoiler, but we mentioned it earlier already. Yeah. Like, I'm like, this is their last meal, this tiny little pot of stew.
I know. This is right. The restaurant where some little boy named Jimmy comes in with a tiny, tiny little bucket. I don't even know where you get a bucket like that.
It's like, yeah, it's like the new mini like purses, like the Jackass purses that like every, like it's like, I mean, yeah, do I have them? Sure. They're tiny and can I fit nothing in it but my lipstick?
Oh my goodness. Here and comes a little baby and he put on a carrier. He looked like a kangaroo. Oh. My goodness. Look who's here. It's Mutt Taylor with a tiny baby on his body. Baby.
That's monstrous.
Well, this you know, Jellybee got picked up a new kid from the black market, and I told him I'd watch him for an hour while he went to out to I don't know.
You look like you have a headed growth on your belly.
I wouldn't have thought of that, but now you say it, it's true. It does look like a
You're
growth.
You're one to talk, skin shelf.
Dang! Look at that baby.
Is the mottling normal?
This baby is apparently has two types of allergies, the original one, and then that allergy got an allergy, so it's like a fractal hive that just kind of grows and grows.
Oh. She's a beautiful baby. I'm just yanking your chain.
She is. Look at those thighs.
But it's fair.
Ham hocks.
It's fair to have some constructive criticism or some notes for people's babies.
I think it is. I think it usually turns out to be a positive to critique people's babies.
I think so. I mean, you could also throw in a, hey, that's whatever comes to mind is a cute thing. Like, seems to have all her toes.
Yeah.
Seems to.
I mean, well, usually
they pop off one of these prosthetics.
Yeah. I just, usually they just look like aliens for such a long time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like after like, what do you think? Like 6 months or something, then you're like, all right, this baby's going to be cute or this baby's not going to be cute.
Yep.
You just get to decide.
Yep.
She's still in the transition period, so we
she's
don't know.
Very cute.
We no, should know by next, delicious. By end of week, if she's going to be cute or not. Yeah.
Oh, she's no. So good. Look at her making that eye contact. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this Jellybee bought this baby on the black market, and you figure he's going to sell it for something?
That's right. I think he's out, like, scoping potential buyers. But, you know, you can't meet your buyers in an alleyway with the product because they can just take it from you.
Course.
So I have to wait for a call, and when the deal's good, I'll bring the baby out.
Well, it's good of you to help out.
Do you bring the baby in a suitcase? He's like a briefcase?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
with the hands and legs sticking out.
Like the
out,
money. Yeah, okay.
Is there a code name, like Buo?
Yeah. It's called Operation Jumbo Drop.
Fantastic. All right. Well, let's not get too attached to this baby. Sounds like it's going to get sold in an alleyway somewhere.
There might be another one on future episodes.
We'll see. Seems to be Jellybee's business, I guess. Yeah. All right. That's fine. Good for him. All right. What do we got here, Lou? Oh, by the way, there's every time we see that gallows, they've erected a gallows in the street. Every time we see it, we hear, ba-bang!
Yeah. That's what they use as the opening theme music, and you never hear the Bonanza thing.
Oh, the gallows sting?
Uh-huh. That's it. That's all you get.
That is the only piece of music that was written for this entire episode.
You're not kidding. Yeah, you're right.
There's all kinds of scenes where all kinds of stuff is happening, and there ain't no music. And
it's kind
of
quiet, huh?
And there's often insufficient dialogue, such as like when Zeke is stuffed into the feed box in the stable, and he doesn't have anything to say about it. They say, we're stuffing you in the... Put you in the feed box, and he just goes, oh.
Yes. I feel like I wrote about that. Where are my notes?
Yeah. My husband wanted to get a horse, and I says, we don't have that kind of money. So now we have an improv horse.
What does that mean?
Well, you just do the space work around a horse.
Mm-hmm.
How much you have to pay for that? That was a lot cheaper.
Well, it's free.
Oh, okay.
It's free. Ew.
Improv horse girl.
Improv horse. You take the horse in and you saddle him up and you wipe him down after a good run and you do all the things you would with a regular IRL horse.
Uh-huh.
But it's improv.
You know, I've heard apropos of that they can't keep people in mental hospitals anymore because if they're talking about they're hearing voices and somebody tries to put them in, they say, I was just improvising. It's been going on like crazy all over the country.
Oh, no kidding.
Well, that's good to know in case they throw me in one. Now I know what my...
Yeah, say I was...
Well, the reverse could be true where you're doing an improv show and a mental patient comes in and just starts being mental and you're like, well, we can't kick them out of the improv show because they might be mental.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or they might be improvising. There's literally no way to tell. Well, so now, oh yeah, little boy comes and he gets some soup for the last meal for the condemned Cartwrights. And
a tiny bucket.
Yeah, and this is when the hangman, he's all nervous and he tells the Cartwrights they ought to shave so that the rope is more comfortable on their necks.
Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah, you, I mean, split second tops of hair pulling pain before you are dead. What's the difference?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Like at that point. It is what it is.
But I think that's the kind of high level of service you can expect.
In your business.
In my business, okay. Where I say, you know, we're going to put you down. We're going to put you to sleep, you know, but beforehand, while you're feeling so sick, do you want a piece of gum or something?
Yeah, that's nice.
You know, just to kind of calm yourself down or do you want a little neck rub?
Mm. A little neck rub.
A little neck rub. And then we put him in the chair.
What, the electric chair?
The electric chair. But it's just a massage chair, but they don't know that.
They don't know that. They think this is the end. Yeah. This is the end. Well, let's see here. We got that. That's when the fat fella bumps into the kid, and then he says, "Oh, this is the stew for the last meal for the Cartwrights. I'll tell you what. Let's put some dirt in it."
Yeah.
Fills that bucket up with dirt, and then Vic Morrow comes out, and he gets into it with these bad guys. At the end of which, he tells the little boy, "You take this soup to the Ben and Pa Cartwright, just like you said you was going to." Even though the boy wants to go get some new soup.
Yeah.
But Vic says, "No, you go on ahead." I think the boy was in the right. Get some new soup, because this one's full of dirt.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, so I don't know. He doesn't have great judgment last year.
I've got, and this is just in the development phase, but it's 3D glasses that show good and evil on television, so you can tell who's good and who's evil.
Oh. It can be very hard.
It's hard because sometimes you go, "Oh, the Cartwrights own an enormous piece of land, and little Joe is violent, but they're good."
Yeah.
Right.
And then the other person owns a giant piece of land, and then they're kind of violent, but they're bad.
And didn't you think Vic Morrow was going to be one of them guys that's good, but then goes sour, you know, but then you find out it's a pilot for his show, so...
He's a good guy, and his main distinguishing feature, he doesn't have a holster on his gun. He keeps his gun in his britches. He just tucks it
because
in the waistband of his pants. Yeah, but at some point, the little boy says to him, he looks at his gun, and he says, "No trigger." And the Lassiter says, "That's right." I think perhaps he was meant to say no holster. And he made an error. Yeah.
They just
kept it in.
They just kept it in.
Just keep rolling, baby.
Keep rolling.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow, that really makes you feel filled with hope.
Well, one take tomorrow.
The bar is lowered to participate in society. You don't have to get it right.
That's right. And they will just say close a goddamn enough. Who's paying that close attention?
Yeah.
Sure, the gun's got no trigger in addition to no holster. That's fine. Onward.
We got to see if there's a real pattern of deterioration over the seasons, just to see if there, you know, there is a message for us that, you know, it's you can be a part of anything, you know, and not even do any of the job.
We'll take note of it. Every time somebody doesn't seem to do their job, we'll put it on a tick board and we'll see if it's ramping up over time. Well, okay, so now bad guys go to the newspaper. They want to stop Mr. Baxter, the newspaper man, from putting out his edition of the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
At first, they threaten him they're going to cut off his arm with the newspaper slicer. You know, the paper slicers.
Yeah. Oh,
paper slicer.
I used to love those.
Those are beautiful.
Oh, they're so satisfying. Yeah. The like...
Yeah, I've never met one that wasn't dull and would just not bend your paper instead of cut it.
Yeah.
Dull.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Okay.
So I don't know that you could cut off a man's arm with one of them paper slashing dealies.
And he better well shave his arm before he does it.
Oh, shave your arm before we cut it off. Absolutely. Yeah. And then they decide they're going to threaten him with going to pour a bunch of hot lead down your throat.
Ooh.
And he seems to be open to it. As they fade out on that scene, he opens his mouth up and looks up like he's ready for the hot lead down the throat.
My husband likes me to shave my arms.
What is that now?
They want you to shave your arms.
Just because I have a hirsute. I'm a... he calls me Mona Sucia.
What does that mean?
A dirty monkey. Because I'm so hairy. Oh. And so he likes to, yeah, smooth arms, he tells me.
Honest to God, now that you say that, I thought you were just wearing an Angora sweater, but those are your arms?
These are my own arms.
Look at that.
Yeah.
It's from Germanic heritage. But anyways, but sometimes they have a little stubble. And it's just like the guy said, you put a rope next to it and it'll burn you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wanted to shave my arms all like middle school and high school. My dad would not let me. And all the girls would shave their arms. Oh. I don't, like, it was a thing. It's was that a not a thing at all?
No, it's a thing. No. They asked me to do it one time at work, and I said, I belong here.
Yeah, and so do they.
So do they.
That's crazy. I'm hell no, I'll never shave my arms. Sometimes I'll glue extra hair to my arms.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going out for a night out on the town. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Dress a little scarf, little arm scarf.
I do that too. There's this old model building technique I do with my arms where you just spray it with glue and then you cut the bristles of a paintbrush and scatter them on, but you electrically charge a little metal piece and run the static electricity and then makes them stand up. And then I do that every morning on my arms.
Oh, you do?
Uh-huh, and my head and my hair.
Looks great. Wow.
Thanks.
I had no idea.
You're a craftsman.
Oh, yeah. I'm a hair's
and
craftsman.
And a manscaper.
That is manscaping. No kidding around.
I'm a craftsmanscaper.
Ah, mira.
Well, I think we can cut to the chase here. Basically.
Because the show sure doesn't.
Yeah, man. Oh, man. I think this might be the episode of Bonanza in which the least happens.
Yeah. I literally wrote, it is so slow.
It is.
I like was like, it's so slow, but I still couldn't keep my eyes off of it.
We often say that this was a half hour episode turning into an hour. I think this one was like a 5 minute short that they said, let's make an hour out of it. I don't think we can do it.
There was so much paper involved in the plot of like, we got to sign something and something's being printed. And it's like, I don't want to wait at Kinko's for the rest of the show.
If there's under 2 hours until I'm going to be hung, please don't bother putting out a special edition of the paper to persuade people that it shouldn't happen. Let alone circulate a petition. I just think those are ineffective measures.
Maybe try a town crier.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But
who's signing the petition? There's no people.
None of them will do it.
People, nobody would do it. Only 5 people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, that's how. So Hawkins really wants the Cartwright's dead, and so his hired guns have scared everybody away from this petition, and they went and intimidated the newspaper man.
Oh, there's an uprising from the lesion that is upon your chest.
This is my skin elf.
Well, that's it then. Up they go to the Callows, Ben and Adam, and Ben's praying the whole way, and Adam is just, he's ticked off. He's just mad. He's just, God damn it, I'm going to get hung. I'm mad at you. And that's when old Vic Morrow persuades Sally to come forward and say, I lied!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't see nobody kill my father. It was her father that got killed. And she says, I didn't do it. Now, there's a shootout. And I think we'll watch that clip. Watch that shootout.
Now, this baby, I know for a fact, loves watching screams.
Oh.
We don't let her. She sometimes gets her eyes on them.
Oh, okay.
Well, she's your prehensile twin.
This would be the perfect thing for a baby to see as their first thing that they ever see is all these men killing one another in a dusty street. Two things to watch for here. Number one, Vic Morrow doing his own stunts. And number two, there's at least a couple of guys just standing around observing. They've got guns on their holsters, but they don't get involved. Here goes a big shootout. She says, I lied. And then Vic Morrow recognizes Cy.
Kansas. Remember? Another hanging party. Remember?
They have New York accents in Lassiter, Kansas.
They certainly do. He's from the Bronx.
Look at that.
Oh, everybody's going down.
Yeah, not concerned.
They don't even flinch.
Oh. Whoa, nice stuff.
Oh, over the fire.
This is a solid shootout, I have to say, especially for Bonanza.
That's enough.
That's enough shooting, says the sheriff very calmly after
so chill.
Several men have been
killed.
And then
Michael Landon makes a joke.
He does.
As always.
That's right. Michael Landon says to Ben and the pile, Ben and Adam come down from the gallows, and Little Joe says, what did he say? I hope you don't mind that we wait. I hope you like that we waited till the last minute or something like that.
Yeah, and then he laughs. He laughs.
So chill. Yeah. Like, this whole situation, I mean, I know I spoke about it in the other episode, but I was like, they just go down like, oh, okay. It's kind of like if, like, you go, like, to order food and, like, they don't have what you wanted and you're like, yeah, we're just going to leave. We'll go somewhere else. Like, that's how it was.
I think that's because this clearly was a Vic Morrow pilot for another show and it wasn't supposed to be Cartwrights. You know what I think?
Oh, I see.
Maybe.
So it was, like, added.
But yeah, so that's why those characters are so underdeveloped. Unless they were, I don't know. Do you know? No.
That baby doesn't know nothing.
Nothing.
Well, okay. So, yeah. So, Vic Morrow now, he sees that Cy Hawkins is one of the people that killed his father back in Lassiter, Kansas. And now he's been hunting him down, going all across the land with his gun and his britches and no trigger on his gun. Somehow he's still using it to kill all the men that had a hand in killing his father back in Lassiter, Kansas. How about that? That's it.
Oh, the growth speaks.
It's my quarto.
Well, with that, I'm sorry to say there's only 405 episodes of Bonanza left. I know. It's a real shame.
I do want to give the listeners one quote that I enjoyed, and they can use it if they want it on an Instagram caption.
Oh, absolutely.
There was a lot of them in this episode where I was like, this feels like I've read this, like some influencer girl has for sure posted this. And like, you like a posted a hot picture in a bikini and like, it's like, that's a quote.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah. So when he says to Barney, I seen you better in the dark than in the daylight.
Ooh, that is good.
It sounded like an Instagram influencer's caption, but like with like a hot pic on like a boat or like inside a cave or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So like, you know, I'm just giving that to you guys to use.
I didn't understand that line, but now I do.
Now it makes more sense.
I have all these uncaptioned Instagram photos of me in a bikini in the dark on a boat.
Yeah.
I keep telling you, don't put them out there without a caption, my friend.
And you're right. I just didn't know when it was going to come along, and I'm thankful you're here.
I'm doing cameos.
Oh, okay.
Are you doing cameos?
Yeah, can give uplifting messages to people, and it's $459.99, and then of course
that's too many numbers.
$459.99.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I don't get overwhelmed by requests.
I see. Okay. All right. You want them to really mean it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But well, and I'm channeling. Channeling Christ. Yeah, that's the thing. Apple takes 55% on Cameo.
They do.
They do. Yeah. What are they? The Son of God? No.
What does Paul McCartney need with your 50% of your Cameo? Son of a bitch. But you know, okay, that's interesting. So you say you're channeling Christ when you do that?
Channeling Christ.
Okay.
Christ's word as told by Amy Sleverson.
Well, when you think of it that way, it's a bargain.
Yeah.
Only $460 for Christ.
Straight from the source.
For Christ to tell you happy birthday. It's probably mostly happy birthday.
Christ always wants to wish you a happy birthday and say, hey, I wish I could have lived a little longer. But I died for your sins. Smack.
Have some cake.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And if any other business, either old business or new business?
No. My last note was that slide in that slide with the gun on the bar by the bar door opening was very slick, real slick. I don't know what
I know what you mean.
You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yes,
it was just
I
real.
Do.
Okay.
That was right after the Clash of the Giants when Haas pushes Bert out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's about to be a throwdown in the saloon.
Yeah.
But Vic Morrow slides. It's like like when you slide a drink across a bar. He slid himself across the bar
with
his gun out and just aiming right in your face like, I wouldn't do it if I was you or whatever he says.
I would watch Vic tomorrow's show, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good would watch show.
Clash of the Titans. What'd you call it?
Clash of the Giants between Hoss and Bert.
Oh, that'd be great. But set in the Greek times.
Oh, yeah. Put them two in a, yeah.
In bikinis too, in the huh? dark.
In bikinis. Yes.
Did you watch that?
Coming out of the frothy water. You know what I mean? Like two giants out of the way that yeah, Godzilla yeah. comes out of the water.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
You had Hoss
yeah.
and Bert coming out and battling over the Athenium and whatnot. Yeah. I love it. All right. Well, I'd say we're just about done. We done it. Okay. Special thanks to our guest, Baby. Does the baby have a name?
Yeah. Chuckabee.
Chuck. Oh, okay. Chuckabee.
I did get a call from Jellybee that the deal is going to go down, but I have since become very attached to this baby and told him, you ain't getting rid of this baby. I'm keeping it. I'm going to be its mama.
Oh, my goodness.
You're not going to have it removed?
No, I'm keeping it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. Too all right.
Cute. Are you my best friend?
Your best friend. Oh.
We have some rebuttal.
That's a no. Okay.
Well, we better wrap this up.
Yeah, all right. We'll see you next time on Bananas for Bonanza.
Bananas for Bonanza is brought to you by Andy Daly with Maria Bamford and Matt Gorley. Theme song by Matt Gorley with The Journeyman, which in this case are Mark McConville, Daniel Michikoff, and Wade Ryan. Bananas for Bonanza is mixed and edited by Brett Morris and executive produced by Andy Daly, Matt Gorley, Brett Morris, and Little Scott Aukerman. We'll see you next time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.